Well, so today Jesus tells us that to follow him means breaking family relationships and hating father and mother and wife and brother and sister and even life itself, which is a hard word. But if you read through all of our lessons today, it's actually not even the only word on how faith can shape and reshape our relationships. In our second reading, which Sharon just read for us, Jesus has made people into family with one another, sort of the opposite of what the gospel reading seems to suggest. People who aren't related at all, and in fact, people who are very different from one another, are named in Paul's letter to Philemon as father and child. This reading is actually a piece of personal mail, which I always find sort of a funny thing about the scriptures, and particularly as we read them in worship, you're reading somebody else's correspondence, and you don't even necessarily know what the context is, and yet somehow the church has said, through these words, the Holy Spirit speaks. Paul writes this letter, Philemon. We hear almost all of it today in its entirety. It's almost the only time in a worship service when we get to hear like almost all of a book of the Bible. Paul writes this letter because, though, of a phenomenon that may be familiar to us all. There's been a broken relationship between Philemon and his household, and a man named Onesimus, and Paul is really hoping that it can be repaired. As we'll see, Paul and Philemon and Onesimus all are different people. They occupy different places in life, but they share a faith. And that's what Paul is hoping that everyone can focus on, how they're family in faith. Maybe you know a situation like this. Maybe you know someone who seems to share your faith, but with whom you have little in common. Maybe you know someone who shares your faith, but who has rubbed you the wrong way, or with whom you have a broken relationship. It happens, even with the best of intentions among all of us. And because of that, this personal letter from Paul to Philemon is not just a document from way back when, but it's a letter from the Holy Spirit to us, because above all and underneath it all, it's about Jesus and how his grace breaks into our relationships in the here and now. But we'll only see that if we investigate a few of the specifics about this correspondence. So hang with me for just a few minutes. Let's start with Paul. Paul is a preacher and a church planter, and because of his preaching, he has gotten himself arrested. A prisoner of Christ Jesus, he calls himself, but in all likelihood, that meant under house arrest. He can't go anywhere, and he only has allowed one or two helpers, one of whom is named Onesimus. But as a pastor, he continues to try to do his work by encouraging people and writing them letters. In fact, he continues, it seems, to hold a great deal of authority among his churches, so much so that he claims a number of times in this reading that he can order people to do things. That was his role as a leader. But that's not really what he wants anyone to care about. What he wants people to care about is not duty and rank and what's right. He wants them to care about Christ and love and the way that that can persuade people to accept and love one another. So that's Paul. What about Philemon? Since it's a letter to Philemon, we don't get Philemon's voice, but Paul's letter tells us a few things about him. Philemon is a man of means. He has a house. In one of the verses that didn't make it into the cut for the lectionary readings, we learn that Philemon has at least one guest room that Paul wants him to prepare for him when he gets out of prison, which, let's just say, this makes Philemon an extraordinarily wealthy person. If you had a guest room in the ancient world, you had a lot of money. Also, Philemon owned slaves. which is a horrifying fact to us, but was common in the ancient world, and one of his slaves is Onesimus. More on that in a moment. But if you read through the letter, Philemon's wealth is a minor detail. Just as Paul doesn't want anyone to focus on his rank and his authority, so too Paul doesn't want us to see Philemon's wealth. What matters is that Philemon shares in the faith, that he encourages other people, that he brings people joy, that he builds other people up. It's not the size of his bank accounts that matters, or his real estate, or the success of his business that gives Paul reason to celebrate. It's his trust in Jesus and his sharing in the community. Now, the drama. Somehow, the relationship between Philemon and his slave Onesimus has been broken, and Onesimus has run away, we think, and somehow has fallen into Paul's circle. We don't know what the drama was exactly. It could be just slavery was drama enough, because although slavery was considered a fact of life in the ancient world, it was still a horrible condition. But somehow, in whatever brokenness unfolded, Onesimus has become one of Paul's helpers and has become incredibly useful and has himself grown in the faith. And Paul says, I have become his father. That's the family metaphor. He's become helpful, useful, and a comfort. And Paul wants Philemon to know this fact, that whatever other drama has unfolded, the thing that matters is that the grace and love of Jesus Christ has been alive and is on the move to change some things, and so Paul would really like to see that relationship repaired. So Paul's a great pastor, but what matters is Jesus. Philemon has wealth, but what matters is Jesus. Onesimus was a slave, but what matters is Jesus. There's some kind of brokenness that's on the move among all of them, but what matters is Jesus, who seems to be at work to repair it. There's something about Jesus that makes Paul think that prisoners and free people and wealthy slave owners and indebted slaves can live together on transformed and changed terms as family. There's something about Jesus that means the people in prison, on house arrest, can become spiritual fathers. There's something about Jesus that makes people useful, even if they weren't very helpful once. Something about Jesus, who's died and risen again to create a new community, not based on human terms, but on his grace and love. And that's why it's a letter also to us. Because, well, at least today we are not in prison. And while none of us are slave owners or have been slaves, we definitely know about barriers to community. And we know about the misunderstandings and the hurts that result when people from very different circumstances try to relate to one another. In any community, including our community of faith, there are people who seem to have the opposite experience of our own. There are those who've experienced divorce sitting right alongside folks who've been happily married for decades, alongside those who are widows and those who are single. There are people who are healthy as horses and those who have chronic illness. There are folks who have savings accounts that can take them easily through retirement and those whose debts are piling up. There are folks who have roles, official roles of leadership, and those who do not. There are those who know that house arrest is not just a thing from the Bible, and those who've never known the weight of an ankle bracelet. And given all of that, How in the world are we supposed to respond to one another's needs, forgive one another's offenses, share our joys and sorrows, and also get some stuff done to glorify God? How are we supposed to understand each other and be family to one another when the possibilities for misunderstandings are just immense? Can you think of someone in your own life with whom it's hard to be in community? Someone with whom you share the faith, but with whom it might seem you have nothing in common? The Holy Spirit is writing a letter to you, wanting you to see how grace is always breaking in, and what matters is Jesus and his grace that claims people here and now. There's a contemporary Christian songwriter named Matt Maher who puts it this way in his song, All the People Said Amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter, weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall, but he so loved the world that he sent his son to save us all. And see, that's what makes a community of faith. For whatever else you can say about Paul or Philemon or me or you or the person sitting next to you, we all need Jesus. And Jesus comes to us with a grace that forgives our sin and repairs our relationship with God and then gives us back to one another as forgiven and healed people, as siblings in the household of God. That's the foundational thing. The thing we all share, no matter what, that Christ loved us, that he died for us, that he lives for us. And each of us, no matter what, is a person whom Christ loves and for whom Christ died. Can we see that reality in one another? Above all other divisions and distinctions and experiences, this is the hope that Paul's letter puts forward. And so I wonder, who's in your family?